So today, we have a special guest speaker, Alec. Alec's going to preach, and what's a joy. I'm not just trying to get out of working in 2018, but so far so good. What's cool is, you know, you've heard Chris preach over the years, Matt, and now Alec is in the line of someone who has gifts. You've heard him speak after I speak, you know, he cherry picks the best messages off of me. That's what I thought at first. And then at some point you go, oh, maybe he's just, he gets it. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's better than me. And that's great. That's what you want. And so for the last couple years, Alec had been in ministry. He'd worked in youth group. And, you know, the Lord has a way of teaching us and walking with us. Really, God teaches us the gospel through struggle. And the gospel is crying out to God and realizing that I don't have to have it all together, but I can trust the Lord. And Alec really gets that, and he has a heart for ministry. And so we've been able to work with him his last 6 months especially, and this week he's been off school. And so I just want you to know why he's preaching. It's something he desires. It's not something I'm just going to call randomly on you to do. Something you want to do, something God puts on you, and something that we recognize is there. So it's not, so, you know, I just want you to know that. So we're excited. So Alec, come on down. So I'm really proud. This is always a good day for me. I love to hear these guys speak and then try to learn something from them. But God bless Alec now as he becomes and is an instrument of your grace to your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I wish I just had that set up. Like every time I went literally anywhere, I had someone come before me.
Give a little arm.
So a couple, I think, prerequisites before I start, because it'd be helpful for me if we're like on the same page. First off, if you don't know, I'm a middle school history teacher, and so usually I'm talking to like 11 and 12 year olds, and I do a pretty good job of keeping them engaged, even talking about like political institutions of ancient Mesopotamia. So I feel like hopefully you'll get something out of this speaking today. Second prerequisite, I process emotion in real time. So if I start crying, I promise you it's okay. It's probably a good cry. But I just want you to not freak out if that happens, because it's probably going to happen. And so Adam already said that I really have had this kind of unique or special opportunity where, because of our school schedule, I was just randomly off this first week of 2018, and so I've had kind of the opportunity to hang out in the lodge. I knew I was speaking today, so I had a lot of time to think about and pray about and reflect on what I wanted to talk about, and the timing I feel like couldn't have been better, because kind of what I want to talk about today is this idea of going into the new year and what that means, what that could mean, what it has, like what I've noticed over these last 7 days. And so it's been a great 7 days. I will say that. If anyone is doing the Bible reading plan, which I have done this whole week, we've hit that point in Genesis where it's like basically Game of Thrones. Like it's very much like there's just a lot of crazy stuff happening. So it's been fun to do that throughout the week. But today, to get us started, there is a song, it's Psalm 65, which is actually on page 400, that I'd like to read, and I'll probably pray afterwards. And we'll talk kind of more about the psalm when we're done, but I want you, as we're reading it, to just, as you're thinking about 2018, especially if you're a person like me that's has some resolutions or has some goals for 2018. My hope is that as we're reading through Psalm 65, that there's just promises or ideas or just flat out words that stick out to you related to maybe how you feel already about the year, or maybe what your hope is for this year. So I'm going to read that really fast. So Psalm 65 says, "Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing." I'm going to pray really fast. Father, thank you so much that we may come together as New City Church, that we may be here and be present in the freshness of a new year. I hope, Father, for myself and everyone else today, is that we can hear your message, that we can hear your peace and provision. So thank you, Father, not for what I have to say, but what you have to say through your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So the thing in Psalm 65, obviously there's a lot. I'll try to break it up a little bit as best I can. But the thing that stuck out to me the most, which is why I wanted to read it today and share about it, is I really wanted to approach this year not necessarily just saying, like, what do I want to do to make the year better? Because I am doing that kind of stuff. But, like, more than that, I really tried to approach it and say, like, God, what is your plan? Like, what do you see for me? Like, how can I best be present this year? How can I best fulfill your will this year? And that idea in Psalm 65 that stuck out to me was this idea of you crown the year with bounty, and this idea of being crowned. And so that's kind of what I'd like to talk about today. It's by the crown there is glory. And for me, I think the first place I'd like to start as we continue in Psalm 65 is actually to do it backwards, so to not focus on 1 through 5, but instead 5 through 13. Because I think in 5 through 13, you see this really, really beautiful relationship taking place between the earth, which is definitely a like character, it's definitely a position. God speaks to the earth, there's like power from God to the earth, all of that. So there's this relationship between the earth and God. And I feel like the relationship and how it's explained in Psalm 65 is like beautiful, and we can probably like personalize it if you don't really care about what God's doing with the earth, even if you hear it and like ingest it for yourself. It's good, because I feel like some of the things that it says are things like there's hope for the earth, like God is the hope of the earth. This idea that through God's strength, he raises the mountains and he calms the seas. This idea that he provides, that he cares for the land, he cares for the water. We see our own provision because of God's care for the earth. So again, if we look at this kind of beautiful, in my opinion at least, relationship between God and the earth, and we can kind of like personalize that for us, there is this recognition as we approach this new year, like, God, how can my year be crowned with bounty? It's this reminder of there is hope because of God. God will stand us up tall like the mountains, that he will calm the roaring, which I am struggling to say every time, the roaring seas in our lives, like the literal situations and events and people in our life that you know, like, God, I need this to be still. I need this to be calm. And then we are provided provision. And when it comes to our year and it being bountiful and us being crowned, I think our response, or like a way to respond to hearing that, is to remember, like the earth, that we can shout for joy, that we can just remember God, we can remember the things that he does for us, which I feel like now kind of transitions well back to 1 through 5. With 1 through 5, let me just make sure I'm staying on track. Yeah. 1 through 5, I feel like, for me, as I was reading it over and over and over again, there was this emphasis on these promises of God. And once again, when I think of this idea of being crowned and our year being crowned with bounty and us wanting to look at what God can provide us with, we are provided with these promises that really can influence or help us as we approach every interaction with like every person that we have this year, with good situations, with bad, with blessings, with curses, with whatever things we are dealing with this year, we can go into them with these promises of God or from God. And they include probably things you've heard before, but this idea that Psalm 1 through 5 says that, like, God will answer our prayers. Like, God will not only answer our prayers as we pray to him, but he will answer our prayers with awesome, righteous, like, deeds that only fit a God of the universe, that only a God of the universe could provide for us. I think another important promise that we can hear from Psalm 65 is this idea that even though we are sinners, or even though we have transgressions, that God will forgive our sins. I think that is something that if we can grasp, it can influence so much all of the situations in our life where maybe we feel shame, or we feel guilt, or we feel neglect, kind of those areas where we know we're struggling. There's this promise that we can step into that God forgives our sins. And the last one is this idea of if we are close to God, like that God is calling us to be close to him, there is a reward, there's a bounty, but also there's just a better way of living if we are close to God. And so not only that God is calling us to be close to him, but that we can actually be close to the creator of the universe. And I think, again, if we like can settle in to those promises, if we can like write them on our hearts, or if we can believe them this year and for the rest of our lives, I really do think it would influence and impact the way that we deal with struggles, the way that we deal with the mountaintops and the valleys. And I feel like this closeness to God, or being called to be close to God, helps line up our path for what God has planned for this year. I have this really, really good friend. His name is Troy. He lives in Chicago. He works with like youth groups, a pretty large youth group kind of in that area. And I remember like several years ago, he was telling me this story about how he had a group of boys at a winter retreat that like one night of the retreat, they got like a torrential snowstorm and it like literally covered everything in snow. They're in like an old timey wooden cabin, like in the woods, in like outside of Chicago. And he's telling me this story that I love, where he remembers waking up the next morning and he had like 10 boys in his like cabin that he was responsible for. And he knew that they had to eat, so they had to walk basically like 100 yards from the cabins to like the mess hall for breakfast. And so, you know, obviously like they're all bundling up, they're preparing for it. Troy opens the door, it's like all white, like it's just snow everything. But you can kind of like in the distance, like he knows because he's made this walk a couple of times, like he knows like the mess hall's over there, he just has to get to it. And so he just sort of, you know, 1 foot in the snow, kind of marching forward, and he's going. And he's occasionally, so that he doesn't, in case any of the kids get like picked off by a bear or something, like he's like looking back behind them and making sure that like the kids are still there. And they, as children would, are embracing snow like this is the greatest thing ever. And they're like weaving in and out of each. So remember, Troy's just sort of going, and they're like going everywhere. And my assumption would be that like if we had a bird's eye view of it, you would just see all of these various like footpaths just like everywhere. And what like Troy recognized is probably at about 50 yards when the kids started to get a little tired, because their like tired little feet were like tired of like stepping in through the snow. Troy would look back, and without vocalizing it or verbalizing it or anything, each one of those 10 kids simply just started to step into the footpaths that Troy was making. So he had like his nice little row of kids that collectively thought, well, Troy's a big guy. He's already making the steps. We can just simply walk into those steps for us. It would be easier. And I tell that story because I feel like if we live into these promises, if we believe these promises, there is this reality that we do have a path set up before us that we can trust in and walk into. And this is probably a good time to switch gears a little bit, because I want to continue talking about crowns, but I want to move away from Psalm 65, because when I think about that path and following someone, and when I think about crowns, I do think about Christ. I think about Jesus. And we have this relationship with Jesus, and we can see it. And if you've read the story, the idea of crowns comes up a couple of times in the Gospels. And so you don't have to turn there unless you want to. It's actually Matthew 27, 28, and 29. It simply says, "They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. 'Hail, King of the Jews,' they said." That's obviously a hard thing to read. I'm sure it's a hard thing to hear as well. Anytime that we approach the crucifixion of Jesus, we talk about that part of the narrative of the story, it like becomes very overwhelming for me. But the thing that I grasped from it this week that I maybe never thought about before, or like the light bulb never flipped on for me, was this idea that during this event, it's this idea that Christ is being crowned with thorns. Like literal thorns that were like born from the dirt, like came from the earth. That Psalm 65 talks about that, like how God is the hope of the earth, that he provides for the earth, that he cares for the earth. And it's that same earth that grows these thorns that have been wrapped and placed on Jesus' head. And for me, like, what I get from that is this reality that when Psalm 65 says God is the hope of the earth, that he will provide, that he does these things, my response, and hopefully our collective response, is recognizing that's Christ. Like, Christ taking on that crown of thorns on our behalf is the reason why we can approach the promises, we can approach the path that we can follow, because there's this reality that that wasn't it. Like, that wasn't, he was crowned in thorns and then the end, because there's more. Hebrews 2, 9 through 10, it's on page 838. It reads, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect and through what he suffered." So I wrote, Christ is the perfect pioneer of our salvation. He is crowned with glory so that we may be considered sons and daughters and experience that closeness with God discussed in Psalm 65. I think this idea of being a pioneer, that Christ is the pioneer of our salvation, that he was crowned with thorns and crowned with glory, like, it really did reach me, at least this week. But I think for me, the message that I got out of Christ, what does it mean, God, what does it mean to crown my year with bounty? What does it mean to be close to you? The response I got, and it might be different for you, and that's okay, was this idea of being a son and a daughter, this idea of having an identity, this feeling of being crowned, this feeling that God is close and that he knows who I am and he has a plan for me. My hope is that idea can resonate with all of us as we continue to approach this new year and the freshness that comes with new, and this idea that God creates bounty for all of us through his promise and through Christ. I have one more story. This will be the part where I'll probably cry, and just to preface you for it. I don't know if I've ever told this story before. It's related to this idea of God putting an identity in someone and stepping into that identity. Adam mentioned I do have some prior experience volunteering with, like, churches and youth groups. And for about 6 months, I actually lived in Birmingham, Alabama. I was involved with a youth group there. And we were on another kind of fall winter retreat. We were out in, like, Birmingham somewhere. And I was responsible for, like, again, probably 5 or 6 kids in, like, a small group setting. We'd have, like, breakout sessions. And I met this kid. He was, like, a senior at the time. His name was Noel. And Noel was, like, a good old Southern boy. He was, like, kind of, he fit the bill. My brother's here. We were raised Alabama fans. Noel was an Auburn fan, so that was a little weird. But he was a pretty good kid. But I remember as, like, we're in these settings, we're in these, like, small groups, I can tell that Noel, like, he is his worst enemy. Because, like, he didn't really feel like he could go to college. Like, he didn't really feel like he could do much or make much. He kind of seemed like someone that was pretty okay at being 17 and settling, which was obviously really sad. But what I noticed about Noel, like, from the get-go, as he would interact with underclassmen on this retreat, is that, like, he is, like, a legitimate leader. And so it's like the last It's like the last day of the retreat, and it's our last little small group session before we all kind of get back together for like the last night, if you've ever been on kind of a retreat before. And I remember kind of talking to everyone, and I remember telling Noel, I said, Noel, you are like King David. I said, Noel, you are a leader. You're a man after God's own heart. And I kind of remember him just like taking that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like we like hugged it out or anything. He just like, I wasn't even honestly sure if he heard it. And to be completely honest, like now, I didn't even think much about it. I just sort of went about my business or whatever. And so we're in the last night, and the last thing our like the youth pastor wants to do is he selected some leaders to kind of come forward with, I know you're not supposed to turn your back to people, but to come forward with like these canvases, and he basically told the kids, when we start playing the music, when we start to pray, if there's something that you feel like you are struggling with, that you need God's help with, I want you to come and write it on the canvas. And if there's something that you feel like God is placing on your heart, I want you to come write that as well. And what they didn't know, but you could kind of tell, is that like when you put the canvases together, it made like a giant heart. So it was pretty cool. But anyway, so I'm like watching one by one by one, kind of kids coming up, and they're writing. I can kind of tell most of the kids what they heard was the what you're struggling with. So most kids came up and wrote what they're struggling with. And I watch from the back, Noel stand up, and he comes forward, and he comes to me, and he's not looking at me because I can tell he's crying. And he just starts writing in like really big font. Like I can tell, like, this dude is about to take up my entire work. And like when he's done writing, he like underlines it. And then he looks up to me, and I look down. And you're David. And I think then and there, it wasn't something I said to him. It was this reality that I feel like we can all step into, that God has a plan for us. He knows our name. He will provide for us. He will crown our year with bounty. And that through Christ, his suffering, we may be sons and daughters.
Thank you. We say thank you.
You say amen.
Well, really beautiful. That is the biggest thing I think we all struggle with, that you could be David, a man after God's own heart, that you could be a person who is crowned by God. That's what we struggle with. All the other stuff is symptoms, because we don't believe that. Thank you, Alec. It's perfect, as that is the gospel. And that's why Christ, before he is offering himself and taking on the crown of thorns, reversing the cursed earth, reversing it, being crowned over death before he's crowned over life, and being able to withstand that because he is God, come to earth for us.